Blame it on the bossa nova with its magic spell. Blame it on the bossa nova that he did so well.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot. And that is the song Blame It on the Bossa Nova, sung by Edie Gourmet, but written by our guests Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. Mann and Weil have been writing massive pop hits together since the early 60s for artists including Wilson Pickett, The Crystals, and The Drifters. One Drifters tune in particular ended up becoming one of their signature songs, one of the great songs really of the last century, on Broadway. I wanted to know the origins of that tune and how Barry and Cynthia captured the reality of New York City.
Cynthia and I had originally written it for a girls group. Lieber and Stoller weren't involved. And it kind of was the same melody to a large degree. The verses were, they say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. They say there's always magic in the air. But anyway, it was about the girls group who wanted to get out of town and get to Broadway. Mm. Nothing happened with that version, by the way.
But it was recorded. Phil Spector recorded it.
Yeah, and Carol and Jerry cut it with the cookies.
I hear the neon lights are bright on Broadway. I hear the dreams come true there every day.
Then we heard that Jerry and Mike were about to go in and record The Drifters. So we thought, well, why don't we just go play that for them and see what happens? So we played it for them, and they really liked it a lot, but they felt that it needed a rewrite. And so they gave us a choice to either we could rewrite it ourselves or rewrite it with them. And so Cynthia and I jumped at the chance to rewrite it with Lieber and Stoller, because if we idolized anyone, it was them. Then all of us together rewrote it, and it became what it is today. Much better song, even though
a great lesson in songwriting.
Oh yeah, I mean it was amazing to watch the way Jerry and Mike work, especially Jerry, the way he threw lines out at you, and if he got stuck, he said, "Well, let's go on to the next verse, you know, and we'll come back to this." And Cynthia, being basically an obsessive lyricist, she always felt that you have to finish the verse and then go to the chorus and go back to the next verse. Mm-hmm. But it was a lesson for her.
What about the cinematic quality of these songs? I mean, you know, we talk about You've Lost That Love and Feeling. I mean, obviously that was Spector. Lieber Stoller with On Broadway. How much of that was sort of envisioned by the way you put the music together, Barry? I mean, was it sort of like inherent in the demos or in your instructions to the producers and the performers about the way you wanted a thing to sound? Or did you sort of hand it off to them and say, do whatever you want with it?
Yeah, I basically handed it off. But, you know, friends, or musician friends of mine, always said that with the way I played piano as if the whole arrangement was in my piano playing. And to a degree, they're right.
Also, Barry's vocal interpretation was often absorbed by the artist. And a lot of people will say, you know, I can hear you in the other artists that sing your songs.
That's quite a tribute. Would it be a case where that they would come to you as they were recording and ask for tips? Or would you actually be observing a lot of the recording process?
No. Phil Spector I think I gave him a piano voice demo.
Yeah, but Barry did put the vocal down.
Yeah.
And in most cases, I don't think it happened on Broadway, but in most cases there was a demo, and whether it was elaborate, where Barry kind of laid out how he wanted the record to sound, or whether it was just a piano vocal with him, there was always that Barry Mann quality of how a lyric is read that other people picked up on.
We're talking to songwriters Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil on Sound Opinions. I want to ask you both about We Gotta Get Out of This Place. Again, we come back to that universality, whether it's the Animals singing about breaking out of industrial England or you in your own lives feeling stuck. How did that song come together?
We originally wrote the song for the Righteous Brothers, and Barry cut an elaborate, fabulous demo. And when it was done, everybody was saying, my God, this sounds like a record. We, at the time, were involved with Alan Klein, who later managed the Stones and the Beatles, but at that point, he was managing some other people. After the demo, I think we were excited about it. We went up to his office, and we played it for him, and then we left the demo there for some reason and forgot.
And I was on Redbird Records at the time.
Then we played a copy for Redbird, and they said, we want to put this out as a single. In the meantime, we didn't know Alan Klein had sent it to a client of his named Mickey Most to cut the animals. And so just as Barry's record was set to come out, we got a call from Kirshner saying, I've got great news. You've got a song that's number two in England. And we said, oh, what song? And he said, we got to get out of this place. And we said, no. Oh, my God, no. It's the first time songwriters ever screamed no when someone told them they had a hit. But that killed Barry's record.
What did you think of the Animals version when you eventually heard it?
I
laughed because it was a shock. It was truly a shock. They had left out an awful lot of the lyric. And
substituted their own. And then they repeated the same lyric.
Yeah, for the first and second verse, which, you know, as a songwriter, I just felt wasn't craft. And and had they asked me to change it for them, maybe I wouldn't have because of Barry's record, but at least I would have had a chance to write something that I felt proud of. So I was kind of upset. And to this day, I think every time we run into Eric Burdon, we both kind of look the other way because he knew I was upset, you know.
Watch my daddy in bed at time. Watch his hair.
His performance is amazing. The record, for what it is amazing. And it went on to have so much meaning for so many people in the Vietnam War that, I mean, Eric, all is forgiven. Let's be friends and let's look each other in the eye next time we meet.
As songwriters, I imagine you guys sometimes have to subsume your egos. You create this thing that you're really proud of. Then it goes off, and it's not under your control anymore. Sometimes your baby comes back, and I bet you hardly recognize it.
Normally, as a songwriter, it's kind of, as Barry often says, it's the job we chose for ourselves.
This is the business we chose.
Yeah, and so it goes with the territory. You write something, and you're proud of it, and you love it, and you're walking in the supermarket, and you hear someone saying, and this is, you know, so-and-so's, with the title of the song, and you want to say, I wrote that, that's mine, but that's not what the job is. The job is to serve the artist.
We could do this for hours. It's been a real honor having you guys on, so thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you. It's been fun for us, too.
That was Barry Mann and Cynthia Wilde, the prolific songwriting duo responsible for some of the biggest hits of all time.
We'll return in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.